Once, Lee's father learned of an innocent man who was given the death penalty and tried to save his life. When the prisoner heard about this, he told his wife, "I am so indebted to this man who has spoken on my behalf, but I have no way of showing my gratitude. Will you invite him to our house and offer yourself to him? Perhaps this will please him and increase my chances to live." End quote. Leach's father, knowing of the prisoner's innocence, took pity on him and pleaded with his supervisor to spare the inmate's life. If he could save the prisoner, he would save the entire family as well. The prisoner knew of the clerk's intent, so when his wife came to visit him in prison, he told her to repay the favor by giving herself to the clerk. He felt that by so doing, he would have a greater chance for reducing his sentence. From the book, the wife cried as she listened to the request. However, it was the only way she could help her husband at this critical time. Therefore, the next day, when the clerk came to visit, she offered him wine and told him of her husband's wishes. The clerk refused, but continued to do all he could to clear the case. When at last the prisoner was released, he and his wife both went to the clerk's house to thank him. The man said, "One with such virtue as yours is truly rare these days. How can I show my gratitude? You do not have a son. Please allow me to offer my daughter in marriage to you. This is the only way I can repay you. Please accept." End quote. Leach's father refused the prisoner's offer of his wife because he did not wish any reward for his actions. He had acted out of a sense of morality and justice, feeling that it was just part of his job. Leach had been married for 20 years and did not have a son. So the prisoner offered his daughter to be the second wife to the clerk, hoping that she would be able to bear him a son and continue the family name. This was an accepted custom. From the book. So the clerk accepted. And soon afterwards, she bore him his son, Leach. Lee passed the higher level imperial examination when he was just 20 years old. Later, he was appointed to a high imperial position. Lee's son, Gao, grandson Lu and great-grandson Da Lun all passed the examinations and received imperial appointments. These 10 examples all tell of the different deeds cultivated by different people. Although their actions differed, their intent was the same, doing good deeds. End quote. Leach's final appointment was as a first secretary, a very prominent position. This was the reward for saving an innocent life. In this example, Mr. Liao Fan told of 10 examples. They illustrate how good fortune is the result of accumulating goodness. And these examples serve to prove that the good fortune of the families was not mere coincidence. The dates of these events all happened very close to the time of Mr. Liao Fan. So he either knew of them personally or they had been related to his family. All this shows that goodness will result in good fortune, while meanness will result in bad fortune. From the text. If we were to examine goodness closely, we would find that there are many different kinds. There is real goodness and false goodness, honest goodness and crooked goodness, hidden and visible, apparent and actual, proper and improper, full and half, big and small, and finally, difficult and easy. These different types of goodness, which are to be carefully learned and understood. If we try to practice good deeds but do not learn how to differentiate between right and wrong, we may end up doing more harm than good. Then, all of our efforts would have been in vain. End quote. Recently, I have spoken to several people trying to progress in their practice and trying to help others. One person had arranged for me to give a Dharma talk to several friends who spoke English. She was coming to the Amitabha building to pick me up where we were waiting, but she simply could not find the building. She had been there before. Becoming nervous over worrying about my waiting and frustrated by the situation, she called a friend who told her that yes, she was at the right location. On her next drive around the block, she finally found the building. Another person called to say that she was trying so hard to practice, but found herself becoming angry when others had said absolutely nothing to offend her. People at the office were starting to avoid her, and she was feeling very badly. A third person had come with her parents to the Amitabha building. She had just started coming to the lodge and listening to tapes and had not gotten angry for several weeks. She was doing very well in her cultivation. Then she suddenly received very negative news at work. These are all examples of karmic obstacles. Please do not give up when this happens. Constantly bear in mind that what we are trying to do is to help others. That is what we vow to do, to benefit all sentient beings. That is why we vow to go to the Western Pure Land. When we do so with the mind, the heart, of utmost sincerity, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will respond to our pleas. This sincerity is the utmost important factor in our practicing goodness. It is to do goodness without asking for anything in return. It is to do goodness that is true and honest. However, good acts that are based on certain conditions are wrong. For instance, some people, Buddhists included, do not understand that Buddhism teaches us to break through and eliminate delusion and wandering thoughts and attachments. When they go to a way place to pay their respect to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they often do so to ask for something. If there is nothing they want, they do not go. They burn incense in front of the bodhisattvas and pray for assistance. If the bodhisattvas would just grant what they want, they vow that they will provide special offerings. This is trying to strike up a bargain. Nietzsche's father was a virtuous man. The prisoner's offering of his wife inadvertently reduced him to being immoral. Leach's father was not offended and continued to help the prisoner, an act of true generosity. Therefore, it was only right that he received good fortune. The previous 10 accounts are examples of good actions. Now we will look at the concepts they illustrate, for we need to understand the proper ways to accumulate goodness. From the book. What is real goodness and false goodness? In the Yuan Dynasty, a group of scholars went to Tianmu Mountain to visit Master Zhongfeng. One of them asked, "Buddhism often speaks of the karmic reward for good and bad, saying that it is like the shadow, following the form wherever it goes. Then why is it that there are people who practice good deeds, But their family and descendants are neither prosperous nor successful. On the other hand, there are bad and wicked people who behave immorally, but their family and descendants do quite well. What has happened to the law of cause and effect? Are there no standards in the Buddha's teachings? End quote. Master Zhongfeng lived in the Yuan Dynasty approximately 700 years ago. His name should be quite familiar to many of us because he edited the Thrice Yearning Ceremony book that we currently use. At that time, the scholars went to Tianmu Mountain to visit the master and asked him some questions. They knew that Buddhism and Taoism both teach of the law of cause and effect, that both teach that it is immutable, is permanent. But they said that nowadays good people did not have good descendants, yet those of bad people prospered. So the scholars posed the question to the master, saying that this contradicted what they saw. From the book, Master Zhongfeng answered, "Ordinary people are blinded by worldly views. They have not yet cleansed their minds of impurities and cannot see with true perception. Therefore, they look upon goodness as wrongdoing and mistake wrongdoing as goodness. This is very common nowadays." End quote. Ordinary people only see ordinary things. When our minds are impure due to worldly emotions, we are still bothered by many wandering thoughts and attachments. We do not have the eyes of wisdom to discern the truth, and this is why people often mistake bad for good, and often mistake good for bad. This is delusion. From the book, the master continued, "Furthermore, these people do not blame themselves for failing to understand, but instead blame their misfortune on the heavens." The scholars questioned how good and bad could be mistaken for each other. Master Zhongfeng asked each of them to express their thoughts on what was good and what was bad. One scholar said that to yell at and hit others was bad, to respect and treat others in a mannerly way was good. The master replied, "Not necessarily." Another scholar then said that being greedy and taking another's money was bad. Not being greedy and behaving properly was good. Master Zhongfeng again replied, "Not necessarily." The remaining scholars all expressed their views on what was good and what was bad. But Master Zhongfeng always concluded, "Not necessarily." End quote. Upon the master's request, the scholars gave their opinions on what was bad and what was good. Their standard was that reproaching and hitting others was bad, while respecting and being courteous to others was good. Being greedy and not obeying the law was bad, while being honest and proper was good. The master said that their standards for good and bad were unreliable and did not agree with any of their examples. With this, everybody asked the master to explain his standards, since they were so different from theirs. From the book, Master Zhongfeng said, "To do things with the intention of bringing benefit to others is good. To do things to benefit oneself is bad. If what we do is for the sake of benefiting another, then it does not matter if we yell at or hit that person. It is still considered good. If our intention is for self-benefit, then regardless of our appearance of respect and courtesy, it is still considered bad." End quote. This talks of the standard of good and bad for Buddhism. Anything done with the intent to benefit others is good. Anything done with the intent to benefit solely ourselves is bad. This is true even if a certain amount of corporal punishment is involved. If we do anything that is to benefit only ourselves, then no matter how courteous, no matter how polite we are, it is bad. From the text, Master Zhongfeng continued, "Therefore, when we practice good deeds with the soul intention of benefiting others, this is considered public benefit. If it is for the public, then it is real goodness. If we only think of ourselves while doing good acts, then that is considered private benefit, and that is false goodness." End quote. This is the true standard for goodness. To benefit others and to provide goodness for every being. If in the act of doing good, we are still concerned about our own welfare and reward, then this act is no longer sincere, but has become tainted. In addition to true goodness and false goodness, there is full goodness and half goodness. To understand full and half goodness. We need to be able to differentiate between full and pure goodness as opposed to half and mixed goodness. All the Buddhas, bodhisattvas, sages and virtuous people think only of themselves, only of others, not of themselves. This is true and full goodness. We have seen a good example of this in Zhongyan Fan earlier in the book. His actions were those of true and perfect goodness. His concerns were not for himself or for his family, but only for the country and society. When we read his biography, we can see that not only he himself, but his descendants as well, practiced and accumulated good deeds. Mr. Fan served as prime minister, as did two of his sons. When he died, he did not have enough money left for his family to buy a coffin. Where did all his money go? He gave it to other people. This was why Master Ingwang praised Mr. Fan as having virtuous conduct second only to Confucius. Until the early 1900s, his descendants remained prominent and prosperous for 800 years. It was the result of having accumulated an abundance of virtues and goodness. Today, when we practice goodness, we do so sparingly, exerting only a little effort. And yet, we consider ourselves to be such good people. Not only that, we expect numerous benefits in return for our little bit of goodness. Some people go to way places to burn incense and make offerings to attain financial benefits. They think that by so doing, they will attain great good fortune. Maybe if they donate a dollar today, they will win $10,000 in the lottery tomorrow. This kind of thinking degrades Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Therefore, when we see these apparently sincere people, when we see their families and even descendants suffer from bad fortune, we will understand the reason why. They do not intentionally view the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as bad, but inadvertently view them as beings who take bribes. Sometimes when people want something, they offer a bribe. This is the same as offering money to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in hope of receiving what we want. People who accept the bribe are not good people. Consequently, if a Buddha accepted the bribe, would that not make him a bad person as well? from the book. Master Zhongfeng further explained that when goodness springs from within the root of the heart, it is real goodness. When we do good just because others are doing so, it is false. In addition, when we do good without expecting anything in return, it is considered real goodness. When we practice good deeds for some purpose other than to benefit others, it is false. Those who wish to practice true goodness need to contemplate all these differences. End quote. The root of the heart is generating from true sincerity. It is true goodness. What is true goodness and false goodness? We must look into our own hearts to see if we are genuinely practicing goodness. Simply following others is an act of insincerity. It is false goodness. Wishing for nothing in return is true goodness. When we wish for a return, it becomes an act with a purpose, and this is false goodness. The scholars had said that greed and excess possessions were bad. But Master Zhongfeng had said, not necessarily. If money and possessions were used to do good, to benefit others, then this is considered good, not bad. Nowadays, when we encourage people to practice good deeds, they may be unwilling to do so. Many ordinary people do not know how to perform good deeds. If we see things only superficially, then sometimes it really is hard to differentiate bad from good. It all depends on the heart. The accumulation of great goodness and merit all arise from the heart of sincerity. This is especially true for great bodhisattvas. Appearing as ordinary people, they do not dwell on the fact that they are great bodhisattvas, nor do they dwell on trivial matters, but purely on benefiting all beings. Therefore, their viewpoints are very different from those of most ordinary people. From the book. What is honest goodness and crooked goodness? People nowadays often look upon an extremely conservative and nice person as good and kind. End quote. Honest means virtuous and dignified. Crooked means corrupt and dishonest. When we see a yes man who is very respectful and subservient to others, we may think he is a good person. Presently, many people prefer to employ this kind of person. Why? Because he or she is very compliant and willing to do whatever he or she is told to do. People think this kind of person is good and like to have them around. He is like a servant slave, obeying our every command, attending to our every need with a respectful demeanor. From the book. However, the ancient sages and virtuous people have shown that they preferred those who were aspiring and dignified. As for those who appear to be compliant and careful in their everyday actions, they may appear to be liked by all, but sages often speak of them as thieves of virtue. From this, we can see that the viewpoints of ordinary people on good and bad differ greatly from that of sages and virtuous people. End quote. The great sages and virtuous people do not favor those who appear to be compliant and careful, although most people consider these individuals to be good. They prefer people who have ability, although they may be stubborn, arrogant, and sometimes even a little rude. Why? These individuals possess particular skills. They may not always agree with us, but are capable of high achievement. Those who are compliant, who are considered nice and kind, sometimes cannot accomplish given tasks because they act according to convention and often lack initiative. And this is why sages and virtuous people often prefer those who are courageous and have aspirations and who are not caught up in trivialities. Although most people like those who are compliant, sages often call them thieves of virtue. They are usually confused about the truth and cannot tell right from wrong. And this is why they are called thieves of virtue. Virtue refers to customs and morality. When people cannot differentiate between right and wrong, then they have broken the moral traditions, like thieves who have broken the law. From the book. Because of this, it is possible that our judgment could be erroneous. Beings and spirits of heaven and earth all look upon good and bad from the same viewpoint as do sages. They do not view things from the same view, from the same perspective as ordinary people. Therefore, When we wish to accumulate merit, we must not give way to greed or be affected by the sights and sounds of the world. We need to be aware of our deviated thoughts as soon as they arrive and to purify them. Honest goodness comes from the thought to sincerely help all others. Crooked goodness arises from thoughts of flattering others to obtain what we want. Loving others is being honest. Hating others and being jealous is being crooked. Honest goodness is when we are respectful. And crooked goodness is when we act without sincerity. These are all to be carefully differentiated. End quote. We must aspire to eliminate all that is bad and to do all that is good. We start from the self. First, we cannot allow ourselves to be affected by worldly phenomena. In other words, we must not be attached to the five desires and the six dusts. But we must be able to let go of them. As long as we cling to them, we will never be able to be rid of our attachments. The thought of benefiting others is the root of our selfishness, is the root of all negative karma. Any good deeds which are done out of bad intentions become bad. And this is why Master Zhongfeng did not agree with what the scholars categorized as good. Because things done with selfish intent are impure and false. Therefore, we must let go of worldly desires. Slowly, one by one, try to eliminate them until we are totally unaffected by them. In this way, we will be able to detect the desire as soon as it arises in our mind and immediately act to curb it. Also, we would do well to eradicate the deviant and impure feelings from our hearts. The Infinite Life Sutra explains this as cleansing our hearts and correcting our past erroneous ways. This is to attain a pure heart and a bright mind which is filled with wisdom. Honest goodness comes from sincerely trying to help all others. It takes only one sincere thought to benefit all sentient beings.
We help them to understand the true reality, to break through delusion and attain awakening. As soon as they do this, they will naturally learn how to eliminate all that is bad and practice all that is good. Therefore, the foremost merit in Buddhism is that it helps people to learn about the true reality of life and the universe. Once they have accomplished this, then they will be free to choose their existence within any one of the 10 Dharma realms. When we do this, the Buddhas will not interfere with our choice, nor will they try to change our minds. Buddhas do not teach that becoming a Buddha is the best goal for everyone. It is their hope that eventually we will become Buddhas. But they will not coerce us to do so. If we prefer to be reincarnated as human beings, then the Buddhas will teach us the principles in becoming good people. If